Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 689. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick agent, Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is hanging out downstairs. And it's been a long week, as I guess last I recorded. I wasn't feeling so hot when I recorded last week, but that was just the start of it. That was child's play, as I was feeling there, as it would go on to become a shitty week. One of the shittiest weeks physically I've had since probably I had the spider bite, which, you know, that was some shitty shit back in 2015, the early days of the podcast, as we were only a couple of years in at that point. I got real sick. I was feeling, you know, rough last Friday and Saturday, but nothing to be concerned about. Nothing that, you know, I hadn't been sick hundreds of times like that before. no big thing. I had like some flu-like symptoms, but it wasn't like puking. I wasn't running an insanely high fever or anything like that. But I was, you know, I had a little bit of the chills, like maybe a minor fever. And I was a little nauseous, I guess. I a little sick to my stomach, but again, I wasn't puking. I just didn't have as much of an appetite, and I just was feeling off more than anything Friday and Saturday. Had a little bit of a headache, but then things changed come Sunday. Sunday, I started to feel like real shit. Like Sunday, I started getting a much higher grade fever, and I haven't had a fever like that in years. My head, I started getting shooting pains in the head that were like little lightning blasts, like with regular intervals within, you know, like a minute apart or so, if that, just lightning striking my brain. And, it didn't feel good at all. It was very painful. And I was like, oh man, I am concerned for my health. It didn't get too bad, I guess, until Monday morning per se. But like Sunday night, like I thought about going to like urgent care, but I wanted to hold off. I was like, you know what? I don't want to pay for urgent care or go to the ER. And let's try to go to a normal doctor so I don't have to pay as much, because you know healthcare is fucking expensive in this country. And so, you know, I'm trying to hold off. And I had already figured in my brain Sunday night, I was like, fuck, I'm probably not going to make it to work tomorrow. I'm pretty sure I'm going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be pretty much the same as it is now, possibly worse. I don't think I really slept much at all Sunday night. I finally decided I need to go to the ER because the pain in my brain was getting, in my head, was getting just so bad, so rough that I was afraid, you know, something very serious might be going on. I think I was running a fever like 101.9 is what, I didn't have a thermometer on here. Cause I didn't have a thermometer here. Usually if I run a fever, it's very low grade fever. It's, you know, I might tap 100. But Sunday night I did go out and get a thermometer and I got a new humidifier. I was like, man, I need something to, because I felt that would be good for my lungs to help clear that stuff out and the sickness and whatnot. And when I finally checked my temperature Sunday night, I guess it was 101.9. So it was like right on 102. You know, not high enough to where like this is for my age, my health. It shouldn't be like, oh no, let's go to the emergency room right now. So I didn't go Sunday night, but hell, it might have gotten higher than that. I don't know, that night. But again, by the time it was like time for me to get up in the morning or whatever for work, I was in so much pain, and I didn't think I'd be able to wait until the regular doctor's office opened. And I said, fuck it, let's just go to the ER. And basically they said to me, there's nothing we can do for you. This is a viral infection, you know, possibly the flu, whatever. They didn't test me for anything, didn't test me for COVID or anything like that. And basically said, you're going to have to ride it out. You're going to have to man up, grow a pair, and ride it out. So, you know, I had already called into work at that point. And I was like, fuck, great. I was afraid that's what they were going to tell me. But, I mean, the pain was so constant. And it was just like, I couldn't sleep because it was just this constant shooting pain in my head. I was just hoping they would give me something I could take to relieve some of this pain. No such luck. And so, yeah, I went home. That Monday, I mean, that pain just happened. It just kept going for days. The shooting pain in the head. And, I didn't sleep, much at all this week. but Tuesday, okay. I guess Monday night I started noticing there was like a knot on my forehead that was not there before. And I was pretty sure I didn't like get hit on the head at any point. I don't think Fox attacked my head or that I fell down the steps or anything. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, I remember everything that was going on, because again, I wasn't like really sleeping. I was like, why the fuck is there this knot on my head? And then I started to notice my lip, my bottom lip started swelling up. I was like, well that's not right, what the fuck. And I had a little bit of a rash started appearing on my body. I was like, oh fuck me. Having some kind of allergic reaction to something, it appears. And then again, you know, Tuesday, I felt the same, possibly worse, you know. So I called it into work again, and I went back to the emergency room because I figured if I was an allergic reaction or something, you know, maybe they could, I don't know, give me something to calm my shit down. I was already taking Benadryl at this point. But no, they didn't have any, well, they did actually the first day I went to the emergency room, they basically said, yeah, you're just going to have to ride it out, and then just immediately sent me home. This time they actually kept me there for an hour or two, and, they did, run, you know, all my vitals and all that stuff, made sure there wasn't like any bleeding on the brain or anything like that, seeing that there was a weird fucking knot on my head. And they did inject me with Benadryl while I was there. And they were going to put me on they wanted to put me on prednisone, the steroid. But that, of course, when I had been bitten by the brown recluse back in 2015, I'd been put on prednisone, and it appeared I had an allergic reaction to that. And so that was a nightmare that I don't want to repeat. And so I was like, oh, hey, oh, let's not go down that road. But I was in a lot of pain. I thought, well, I don't know, maybe I should roll the dice. Perhaps it wasn't the prednisone that fucked me up. We never got a concrete explanation on what happened with that brown recluse bite, whether or not that was the prednisone. Because I had after taking the prednisone, I had these pustules appearing on my body, like all over my body, like hundreds, possibly thousands of these things, tiny little white pustules that, like, I could feel each one forming, and they hurt like hell. My whole skin was on fire. I did not want to repeat that, but I was having some severe pain in the head. I was like, I don't know if this is my only option, is to take this fucking steroid or Benadryl, which I already have at home and I take on a regular basis anyway. Why, you know? So I opted not to take the prednisone, and basically just went home again and just like, you know, just keep taking Benadryl. Hopefully this shit, which I wasn't taking it a whole lot. I took it like maybe another time that day. But I wake up Wednesday and, or well, I don't know if I really slept. I know just when I finally went to the bathroom to look myself, I know on Wednesday, my whole upper lip had swollen to like grapefruit size. It was just this fucking massive. I mean, I could tell it was fucked up just laying here in the bedroom. But I didn't know as to what degree, like how bad it was until I, you know, went and looked in the mirror and just saw just, I looked like I had elephantitis. I looked like I was the elephant man, you know? like I was Eric Stoltz in The Mask. So I got to experience what that would be like for a day. Although, you know, I realize that's nowhere near what it's like to have elephantitis. as it's, you know, a horrible thing you got to deal with, you know, every day of your life and have to deal with surgeries all the time. Anyway, but I did look the part. the pain wasn't that bad from the swelling of the lip. It looked horrible. It looked way worse than it felt. the pain in the shooting pain in the head was more of an issue. And at that point, I called into work again, which that's the most consecutive days I've called into work in many, many years. And I was just, and yeah, not real happy about that. But then, of course, I was going to try to go to my normal doctor. I called them because I was just like, maybe they'd have going to a different doctor, get more options. I don't know. And yeah, they just, you should go to the emergency room. If you're having that bit of allergic reaction, you should go to the emergency room. They can do, you know, intravenous, things to insert into your veins, get a more, and so I'm like, fuck, all right. So I went back to the ER, and basically, I mean, it was just more of the same. They said, you're just going to have to take Benadryl. Although I did see a different ER doctor, and he was at least explain to me more in detail. I feel like the first ER doctor just wasn't explaining much to me. Just basically, you're going to be all right, just go home. But not explaining to me what, you know, what he thought was happening or what have you. And whereas the last one I wanted to, he talked to me for quite a while and explained more of how the allergic reaction happens and how Benadryl will fight it. And basically, I had to keep taking Benadryl every 4 hours, because if once it wears off, then the allergic reaction, as long as that stuff's still in your system, it's going to keep causing the hives, which I had hives at that point all over my body, hives. My hands had swollen up to twice their normal size. My lip, I mean, it was fucking huge. I could watch my lip twitch out. It was like twitching and I could see it like fill up more. If I just looked at it in the mirror, I could just see it pulsate and just fill up with more fluid. It was fucked up. And my whole face was just swollen. It was just, it was brutal. And you know, I couldn't sleep with that. One suggestion the nurse had given me though was just to use like a sleeping pad or a heating pad. Sleeping pad. Fucking, yeah, my brain's still a little fucked up. I mean, it's always fucked up, but, yeah, she had suggested, to try ice and then possibly a heating pad, and the ice didn't seem to really work. Maybe initially, but then the heating pad, that did help me sleep a little bit. I put that on the back of my head, and somehow that helped get away with I stopped having as much shooting pain, which was amazing. That was the biggest thing I wanted. And that was, I think she told me that on Tuesday. And so like the heating pad was like, whoo, that was a game changer. And, yeah. So I, after that last trip to the emergency room, my last trip was on Wednesday, and I just started every 4 hours taking Benadryl that Wednesday. And then, I went back to work on Thursday, and I stopped taking the Benadryl as soon as I went to work, because, you know, I don't want to, I work a dangerous job, you know, I don't want to be drowsy. But I wasn't feeling tired, as, yeah, I had so much stuff going on. It was hard for me to, like, be like, oh, I'm fucking tired. But the swelling had gone away, but you could see, you know, hives, like rash on my face. And if I would have taken my shirt off, it would have been like all over my torso. I was mainly just itchy by the time Thursday rolled around, but I made it back to work on Thursday. And, yeah, it was Thursday and Friday were just, I was able to sleep at that point. Not like a lot, but I had gotten some sleep, and I'd still taken the Benadryl, like, when I was out of work on a, you know, every 4 hours. And today I barely have any like rash left on Saturday as I'm recording this. Like there's a little bit left. I'm a little itchy, but man, yeah. Thursday and Friday, I was like a crack fiend. I was like Dave Chappelle on the Chappelle Show when he was playing the crackhead, just like scratching everywhere. It was bad. It was a long fucking week, man. It was a long week. And it started out, you know, yeah, I was just a little sick. I'm like, man, I'm sick like this, you know, quite a few times in a year. Thinking no big thing of it. And then all of a sudden just fucking shit went crazy. But from what I understand, this can happen a lot with a viral infection. You can be somehow, I guess, allergic to the virus itself. And, of course, my roommate Tony, she said her youngest son, Ben, gets hives a lot when getting sick. So I'm like, oh, man, now I'm paranoid. I'm like, is this going to happen every time I get sick now? Am I going to get hives? Like, is my forehead going to get a big knot in it? And then, like, my, you know, my whole face gets swollen? It's like, son of a bitch. People at work thought I was, like, dying. Like, whoa, get away from me. Like, you're going to give me the plague. Like, damn it, I can't give you allergic I can't give you the hives. Like, if I still have... Like, by Thursday, I wasn't running a fever or anything. Like, I should have been... Whatever viral infection should have been out of my system. You know, should not have been contagious. So I can't give somebody, you know, my own hives, my own allergic reaction. I could get them sick with, you know, the flu or whatever the fuck was in my system before that. Yeah, that was no fun. After that, though, you know, I haven't really done much. I planned on changing my oil in my car today, which I did not get around to. Because I was still just after a week of not really sleeping. For some reason, I was really fucking tired, and I slept a lot last night, and I didn't get up till even after I got up, I fucking laid around, so I just didn't have any energy, and then I went back to sleep for a while. But I did sort of celebrate Halloween. I did watch some scary movies. I did watch last night on Halloween. I watched A Nightmare on Elm Street, not Friday the 13th. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, The Dream Warriors, which I hadn't seen in many years. So it was pretty exciting to watch that again and get some Robert Englund with Dokken. Freddy and Dokken. I didn't forget Lawrence Fishburne is in that. I know Patricia Arquette, it's hard to forget because she's the final girl in Dream Warriors. But Lawrence Fishburne is more minor character. He's like an orderly. And not like one of the more orderlies that's in it more. He's just very, very briefly in it. Yeah, Patricia Arquette's all over that one. And it's a classic. That is definitely one of the best Nightmare on Elm Streets. It's not my favorite. I mean, the original, I don't, you know, that one like tops it all, I think. But 3's pretty close up there. It's pretty close up there. You know, I have a special love for pretty much all of them except for the Jackie Earle Haley one, which I think is just trash. It's just, I don't know. It's not Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger. And it's just, that's where it's at. I did also watch today. Well, I started it last night when I was zonking out, but I watched the Peter Jackson film of The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox. If you haven't seen that one, that is a classic. That came out in 1996, I believe, when I looked it up earlier. And as Jake Busey, as a serial killer. Well, I guess, would you call him a serial? He's a mass murderer more than a serial killer. Although, as a ghost, he's a killer. We'll just call him that. He's got him and his girlfriend. And, of course, in it, Michael J. Fox is an architect initially, and he's in a car accident where I don't remember if they're married or they're going to be married, his fiance or wife, what have you. She is killed in the car accident, and after that he can see ghosts and whatnot, and he's sort of like a Whoopi Goldberg in the movie Ghost. He's working as a medium sort of thing. He's like a paranormal detective, and he can see ghosts, but he really just uses his ghost friends to go fuck with people, and then, you know, have people pay him to get rid of the ghosts. So he's running a scam. But it's you know, it's a classic Peter Jackson film. And the effects maybe don't hold up quite so well. I mean, some of the ghost stuff does look rather dated, but I mean, it's Michael J. Fox and prime Michael J. Fox, you know? How can you go wrong? I was going to watch Nightmare on Elm Street 4. Is it Dream Master? I forgot what the fourth one is. It might be Dream Master. Anyway, it's basically the direct sequel to 3, The Dream Warriors, whereas Patricia Arquette's character, Kristen, is in the second film, but of course, she had already moved on to bigger, better things at that point. She's already working on, like, True Romance and what have you. And they have, I don't know the actress that did her part in the next one, but there's 3 or 4 characters from part 3 that make it to part 4, which is the most characters that carry over out of any of the sequels, I do believe. So those two are almost like the same, you know, continuation, 2 parts of the same movie, basically. I was going to watch part 4 because I got that one lined up on Amazon Prime, but I haven't watched it yet. It is a classic. Not as good as part 3, but still pretty great. I love in part 4, there's the opening scene where I guess it's Kincaid that's having the dream. That because at the end of part 3, the Dream Warriors, Nancy's father, and the other guy, I don't remember his name. I just watched the movie last night. With the guy that's trying to bang Nancy. The doctor that's trying to help the kids in the sanitarium, whatever you want to call it. He goes with Nancy's father to the junkyard where Freddy's bones are to, of course, bury Freddy's bones and put it, you know, the holy water on his bones and everything, bury it. And so that'll finally get rid of Freddy. Of course, in part 4, how they bring him back is, I want to say it's Kincaid's dream and it's Kincaid's dog. Like, he's in the junkyard there. And if I remember correctly, again, it's been many years since I watched part 4, but the dog, like, leads him to where Freddy's bones are and then pisses fire. Get the bones out of the ground. That one, I think, as far as movie posters are concerned, I mean, the original Nightmare, that one is possibly the best. Again, the original, it's hard to beat the original. But part four, I don't know, the movie poster for that one is just fantastic. You got the graveyard shot. Here's oh yeah. It's Freddy's face. Like you got the junkyard here with Freddy's claws coming up under the ground of the junkyard and like the ground splitting open where the dog had pissed fire. And then the cars with their headlights on in the junkyard and Freddy's face above it, like getting torn apart. It's pretty epic. Terror Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. The Dream Master. Dream Master is the name of part four. Okay. But that one's a pretty cool fucking poster. I dig that one. Yeah, it's Kincaid's dog. That fucking, I think, pisses fire to open up the ground. Tuesday Night, that is the name of the actress that took over Patricia Arquette. I don't think her character lasts that long in part four, if I remember correctly. I wouldn't swear to it. it's been a while, though. I feel like Alice is the character that takes over more for Kristen. I feel like Kristen dies fairly quickly in that one. You get Kincaid, Kristen, and Joey from part three that continue over into part four there, which is definitely more than any other of the sequels that transfer over there. I want to say Alice, which is, I believe she goes into part five. She's the one that has the baby, and because the dream child is part five. Another one, I haven't seen that one in a long time. As I need to go back and watch all of, I guess, the nightmares. I would definitely put my top three would definitely be, I would say probably Nightmare 1, Part 3, Dream Warriors, and then New Nightmare would be my top three, I guess. Past that, it's hard to say. Maybe two would be Part 4. Two's classic. I love all the gay innuendos and stuff in there. And it's really dark. I thought, you know, 2 is very dark. I just like the darkness to it. How it looks, Freddy's makeup and what have you. Like, he looks, like, legit scary in there. There's not quite as much comedy to that one. And Freddy's Dead is when it gets, you know, well, I don't know. Part 4's got quite a bit of humor to it, I was going to say. Like, man, you know, I don't really remember that much about part five. Like, I'm trying to think. I guess it's been probably the longest since I've seen any of them. It's probably part five, The Dream Child. Which, man, I just need to go back and watch all of them here. I think this next week I need to just plow through some Freddy. Give me some great nightmare content. I did also, I started to watch Night of the Living Dead, but I didn't end up getting very far on that one. So I talked about that last week because I was talking about, you know, needing to, you know, get into some classic horror films on the projector. Because I had not done that. A lot of them. I've seen a few, you know, since getting the projector, but it had been a minute since I'd seen a lot of, like, Night of the Living Dead. Definitely since I've seen any, like, zombie films like that. But I'll get around to Night of the Living Dead. Now I'm kind of on the Freddy kick. I got a little taste. Nightmare 3. I need to go back. Man, I love seeing these old posters from, like, the other countries. There's one where Freddy's pregnant for the dream child. That looks pretty fucking great. Congratulations, it's a nightmare. Love the foreign movie posters, though, where you get, like, the Japanese stuff and everything's in a, you know, language I can't read, at least. And, but, you know, clear. Oh, my gosh. Some of these photos. Yeah. I love some of the classic kills, you know, on a lot of this stuff. The kills. Watching, you know, part three, I think the most iconic kill in part three is, of course, I don't know the character's name, but she's the one that puts the cigarettes out on her arm to stay awake as she is trying to, you know, avoid going, meeting up with Freddy Krueger there. But she's in the TV room, and of course, I think Loris Fishburne is the one, of course, that lets her into the TV room, like, all right, I'll let you in there. Your friend just died. And, of course, once in the TV room, of course, she's watching, shit, what was it, fuck, what is the TV host name? Dick Cavett? I think it's Dick Cavett and Zsa Zsa Gabor. And then, of course, Freddy turns into, or Dick Cavett turns into Freddy and proceeds to kill Zsa Zsa Gabor. And then the character and a nightmare that I do not recall her name is goes up to the TV to start fucking with it because I think the reception goes out, and then of course Freddy's head pops out of the TV and then goes I forgot what the initial line is. There's two different lines he says there, whereas something about you're ready for your close-up or something is like, welcome. The big part, the one, the memorable line is, welcome to prime time, bitch. But he says something before that. I don't recall what it is or what he says before that, but it's welcome to prime time, bitch. Which is great. What I love is, of course, you know, he then puts her head through the TV to kill her. And one of the funniest things I find about Dream Warriors is that, you know, Freddy's killing all these kids in their sleep. They are being murdered, and the one kid that's into the making the puppets, he is definitely you know, he's got Freddy is controlling him like a puppet, and then of course has him walk off a ledge, so it looks like a suicide, you know, very much like a suicide. And yeah, so it looks like a suicide when he does that. However, you know, that could be, I could see the staff going, yeah, that was a suicide. Or that, you know, an accident at best, because they knew he sleepwalked. And it could very well, but they said he committed suicide. Which, I don't see why, like, it was an accident with him sleepwalking. I don't know, either way. Now, now, when the girl fucking gets her head slammed through a fucking CRT TV, it's a fucking, I don't know if you ever tried to break one of those old TVs or accidentally dropped one. Those screens don't fucking just break. You got, those fucking screens are fucking hard as a rock, man. Those things, you might be able to chip it, but to break it, that's like, you're not going to be able to just put your head through that. But they're like, oh, she killed herself too. They're all killing themselves. Like, how this TV's mounted on the wall, like, not to where she could easily, like, reach it either to be able to put her head through it. But, oh, shit. Yeah, they're like, well, she clearly killed herself. You know, they don't get too in depth into it, but you see her body, like, the next day, like, in the, or that night or whatever, where her head's like in the TV. It's like, you had to be like, okay, this isn't normal. Like, who, you're going to be walking in here like, this is a bit strange. Like, how does somebody put their own head through a TV like that? Just doesn't, it doesn't compute. But yet these doctors, they're like, fucking suicide, man. These kids these days, they find some interesting ways to kill themselves. But oh yeah, it is some classic stuff though. Oh, I am watching, I guess, the little trailer on IMDb. It showed me like the trailer for Nightmare 5 and the Freddy skater street vision wear, which was the classic skater stuff back in the early days of Tony Hawk. The skater shoes, the street vision wear, where Freddy's like riding the skateboard and shit in there. That's a classic scene. There's some classic stuff in part 5. But yeah, that what sadly I had forgotten yesterday on Halloween that there was a new episode, at least one. I think maybe they put out two new episodes of South Park. I missed that. But I was able to buy it on Prime. I bought the new season of South Park. But unfortunately, I can't watch the new last two episodes yet. So I'm like, why the fuck did I bother buying this, you sons of bitches? As that is a bit of a pisser. Why you gotta even show me that shit? I want to see. I want to see this stuff, and they're not helping me out here. Not helping me out. I would prefer to, you know, watch that since I just bought it. You sons of bitches! It doesn't say when I can like see it either. I mean, if I buy I guess the only way for me to watch it right away is if I get the Paramount Plus, which I don't want to do. I've already got enough fucking subscriptions. But they had a sale. It was only like, I don't know, $6, maybe $8 or something like that for the South Park season 28. So I was like, you know what? Let's do that. And yeah. I can't watch the next ones yet. This is some shit. Yeah, I guess I guess they had two episodes as of last night. Maybe it was just one. Either way, I can't watch that yet, you bastards. I don't know why I'd have the option to buy that if I can't watch it right away, you sons of bitches. I'm trying to get rid of like some of my streaming subscriptions because I've got too many of them right now. I got to cut the spending, especially with as much now the doctor's bills I'm going to be seeing. I'm sure the 3 trips to the ER is not going to be cheap. But yeah, hopefully I'm in the clear with that. hopefully I don't wake up tomorrow and then all of a sudden I'm just like back with just. My body is completely swollen. I don't think it will, but, you know, maybe. I don't know. Hope not. I would like to get into, I haven't seen it, but the Welcome to Derry, the It. Welcome to Derry on HBO. I'd like to check that out. That would be another horror thing. Horror. But that being said, yeah, there's plenty of nightmare to keep me busy for at least a week or so, or two. We'll see what happens. And of course, I got Night of the Living Dead to finish up, as well as I guess I need to watch the Walking Dead Dead City yet as well. That's another zombie thing. And I haven't seen Tron Ares yet, but again, it'll probably be on Disney Plus in like another week or two. As it should be right around the corner. I did watch all of Marvel Zombies, which I think there's only 4 episodes of. Which I never had read any of the comics involving the zombies. It's interesting to see that the zombies in Marvel Zombies, how these superheroes have superpowers still, which I guess, you know, you'd still have some of that of going on with with all of, you know, whether you were living or dead. But they also have some mind power with the Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch there. She, of course, had her super powers still, but still working brain. And there was the Hawkeye. It was good as far as the animation series goes. Pretty good. The zombies. I feel like there could have been more to it. But it is. Let's see what I'm curious as to what. Oh no, it's not gonna say. I was trying to see what like the IMDb rated is like the number one. Oh, you sons of bitches! I don't want to sign in. Having me try to sign in. Well, I don't know why IMDb is always trying to get me to sign in. I don't want to bother. I've used this shit for years. I don't want to sign in. Never mind. I was going to look over to see what they had as far as ratings were concerned for all the Nightmare on Elm Streets. But yeah, it's wanting me to sign in now. That's not happening, IMDb. At least not today. Maybe later I'll fucking finally do it so I can read your fucking articles, you little bitches. Anyway, I would I'm seeing a thing too on Netflix's Monster, Ed Gein, the Ed Gein story, whatever. And I had seen something posted about it on I guess Instagram earlier or something. And people talk how amazing it is. Like, holy fuck, is there not one person talking about how not true this fucking thing is? Not a single person. I've went through all the comments. I wasted so much time looking for the comments, looking for someone to be like, hey, wait, none of this is real. Like, 10% of this story is real, you bastards. But I did just get a book on Ed Gein, which I attempted to read one night while being sick. Didn't get real far. But it's called Deviant, and it's supposed to be like the book on Ed Gein. So I feel like though I know pretty much what the Ed Gein story, though. You know, he dressed up like his mother in real people's skin. He created a mother suit. he only killed two people that we know of, Bernice Worden and shit. I'm blanking on the other name. Mary Hogan. That's the other one. Bernice Worden and Mary Hogan. was the only two women that we're aware of that he actually killed. Other than that, he was just a grave robber. Just a weird, fucked up dude. Big mama's boy. was just into some weird shit, you know. Into body parts. Too into the Holocaust. And, you know, into the Holocaust, when I say into the Holocaust, not just interested to know, like, just the horrors of people. Like, he wanted to repeat, you know, the horrors of the Holocaust. Like, hey, I want to make some shrunken heads or what have you, a lampshade made out of people. That's I'm going to create a chair out of human skin. That's some weird shit. That's some weird fucked up shit. Which they do, you know, show that in the Ed Gein Netflix story. But they create this whole bullshit story with, again, this woman that claimed after the fact that she was in sort of a romantic relationship with Ed. Then later recanted that. But Ed Gein never said it. He was ever had anything to do with her. But anyway. Like, they take that little grain of possible truth and then expand that to this woman is head over heels in love with Ed Gein, and he shows her, like, the shit he did with these dead bodies and shit. And she's like, I'm cool with this. That's a little bit of a stretch. To be like, ooh, yeah, we were kind of involved, and then, like, oh, yeah, I was involved with him, like, murdering these people and shit. Yeah, I was on board with that. That's a little bit different. Slightly. Just a slight exaggeration. Anyway. Yeah. Man, it's crazy. It's almost Thanksgiving. We are just a couple of weeks from Thanksgiving. It is November 1st as I'm recording this. We are well into hockey season, which is good. It's hoodie hockey season weather. It is the weather has finally cooled off here, which I'm definitely glad for that. I'm tired of the fucking hot weather. Love me some, you know, late October, early November weather, dead leaves. The changing of the, well, I prefer it like when they're not completely fallen. They're still on the trees and you get a lot of the orange, you know, orangeness to the leaves. And just the cooler weather, the temps, what have you. And unfortunately, the Blues, you know, not doing so hot. Not doing so hot. I think last week when I was recording, they were playing the Red Wings as I was kind of half-assed watching that while recording. And they went up 4-0 on the Red Wings, I think, while I was, you know, recording. And then, of course, after the recording, they went on to lose, like, was it 5 or 6-4 or whatever the fuck it was? It was, you know, it was not great. They're having a struggle. Someone would have told me at the end of last season that they would start this season with almost the exact same team. And their problem was with defense, not offense. I would have really been surprised to say that the goaltending and defense has been this bad as would be surprising, to say the least. I would have thought having the same two goalies and almost all the same defensemen would lead to, you know, just, I mean, they were on it defensively, to say the least, last season. Yeah, I don't know what to say now, but it is, I tell you what, the last game, there's some bright spots to be seen as far as Blues hockey is concerned. There is, of course, Jimmy Snuggerud is still playing very well. I think he had one goal last game? I don't remember if he had an assist or not. He was playing really well against the Canucks. Of course, I'm recording this before they play the Columbus Blue Jackets today. And Dalibor Dvorsky has been pulled up back into the Blues lineup. And he had a great game. He didn't score any goals, or I don't think he had any assists. But he was on it, and his speed, and he was in on a lot of action. And I feel pretty confident he'll get at least an assist tonight. He's only what, like 19 or something. But Devo. I'm surprised they haven't, like, when he comes hits the ice yet, I'm still waiting for them to pull out Whippet, because, you know, have like almost like a Major League, the movie, Major League Baseball, the Major League movie, where they have Charlie Sheen come out to Wild Thing. Like, how is, soon as Dvorsky hits, like, just play Whippet, you know, it'd be fucking great. Step on a crack. Break your mother's back. You know, anyway. It would be fantastic. Crack that whip. And just get the crowd into it, you know? Get a little Devo action. Devo and Snuggy. I mean, that just sounds like a great combo. Devo and Snuggy. You know, and he was playing center the other night, of course, because Neighbors and Robert Thomas, two of the biggest impact players as far as the offense is concerned, out. Robert Thomas being, you know, like line one center. I mean, that's a crusher. I mean, he had the most points out of anybody on the team last year. And just really runs that offense. And then Neighbors has got the most goals out of anybody this season so far. He's got 6 on the year. Hopefully they'll both be back soon, but I feel like Devo is going to, I think he's going to put up some numbers. I mean, maybe not, you know, insane numbers, but I think he's, I mean, he definitely, that it's hard to put a, you know, get a feel after one game, but he definitely played like he wants to stay in the NHL. He was playing with some with some purpose last night, or what, Thursday night. Fuck, I don't know what day. It was Thursday. I don't know what day it is. It's Saturday. It's Thursday. Yeah, I feel confident he's gonna keep playing with an intensity, you know, to try. You know, when I would imagine when you don't have a spot like set for you, like in the NHL, you know, you're any time you get a little bit of a shot at, you know, making that roster, you're gonna want to put in that effort. But it's, again, one game, and I think the hardest part probably for the, you know, these younger guys like a Devo is not having the strength conditioning to be able to play day in, day out, that kind of minutes on ice that you would in an NHL game. And I mean, you're playing bigger guys, stronger guys, and probably taking a lot more hits. I think it's really to see what happens after a few games to see like whether or not, you know, he's ready to make that real jump. But I feel like there's a lot of promise there. I mean, Snuggie's been really good coming out this season. Like, he looked good last year in the few games that he played last year, at the end of last year, and in the playoffs there. But he's definitely, I think he's improved this season. And how was the Blues not just, like, selling Snuggies, like, right out of the gate? You know, actual Snuggies with Snuggerud's number on it. How is that not all over yet? I figure by the end of the year, it'll be, they'll be there. I know Shelly and Nabina were talking about, I don't know if they've done it yet, getting Snuggie, actual official Snuggies, and then ironing on Snuggerud's number on them. As Shelly's already got the Snuggerud jersey. The number 21, Jimmy Snuggerud. And I'll need to get to a game before too long. I won't be going to as many games as last year. I don't see myself being able to afford to do that. But I'd like to get to a couple of games. Most of the weekend games, well, the biggest problem is the amount of time I've been working. I don't have the free time at the moment. But hopefully that calms down before too long, and I'm able to get a little bit of free time in between now and then. But either way, I'll get to a game eventually. At least one game. At least one game. As I still haven't got my Adam Oates jersey yet, too. I was going to get one last season. But they had sales on them constantly, but they were all the small jerseys. I might have been able to get away with a small jersey, but I really probably need at least a medium. And I didn't want it to be, like, obscenely tight. I kind of also like to a bigger hockey jersey because, like, a lot of times you're going to games and it's cold. I'd like to put a little something underneath the fucking jersey to help keep warm. And if I'm wearing fucking small jersey to where it's real tight on the body, I'm not going to be able to wear anything underneath it. And I don't want to put anything over it. So this is a real dilemma. But, you know, again, Shelly's got the whole jersey. You know, if we go to a game, we can do the whole notes thing. And so I could do the, you know, I'd get the Oates wig, the John Oates wig and mustache. Rock that. Because who doesn't love some Hall & Oates, you know? I mean, that's some classic stuff. Apparently, Hall & Oates don't like Hall & Oates anymore. There's been the last, I don't know, what, 10 years or so? Maybe less than that, where they apparently don't like each other anymore, which is a damn shame because those two made some of the greatest music of all time. I mean, Private Eyes, that's some good shit. Private Eyes, they're watching you. You know what I'm saying? Watching your every move. And then, you know, like fucking Sarah's Eyes, Rich Girl. So many great fucking songs. Maneater. I mean, goddamn, Hall & Oates, man. Hall and fucking Oates. They ruled the 80s. They had, I mean, they had good stuff in the 70s too, but the 80s, those hits were fucking through the roof. Through the fucking roof. Sad they only have, I only have one Hall & Oates album on vinyl. I forgot which one it is. But I should probably have at least one or two more Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates. Yeah, did Brett Hull and Adam Oates, did they put out a vinyl? Probably at some point. I mean, they were big. I remember in the 90s, you know, anywhere you'd go around the St. Louis area, right in here, I guess in Missouri in general, you'd go to like McDonald's and there was, you know, Brett Hull, like Happy Meal shit. There was comics with Brett Hull. Maybe not so much with Adam Oates, but and Brett Hull was everywhere. Is anywhere around here. Anywhere within, like, you know, a couple hundred miles of St. Louis there was shit everywhere. He was a damn fine looking fella back in the blues era. The 90s Hull was a hottie. It hurts my brain to see him now. I love seeing the podcast with him and Kelly Chase. But it's difficult for me to see him old, as it's the image of him from the 90s era blues is just so ingrained into my memory that it can't comprehend. Like, holy, how did this legend ever age? But I love hearing his stories. I need to listen to the Ice Guardians' latest episode where they talk with Bernie Federko, which another blues legend, Mr. Federko. As I still need to finish Bobby Plager's book. I'm still about on the halfway-ish point on that. I haven't gotten to. There is stories of when the Blues, of course, won the Cup as well in that book, but it's like I think the last couple chapters. What have you of the book? It definitely would have been a different era to be in the locker room back in the early days of the Blues when there was a lot of lot more pranks and what have you. As there was the one, maybe I talked about it last week, but there Plager was talking about Red Berenson, was it? They would fuck around with a lot of the new guys that would join the team, and they would go on snipe hunts. And they would do it out of season for snipe hunting or whatever, but they had, I guess, there were friends. Somebody was like friends with one of the judges around, like local judges. And they would do these snipe hunts out of like Red Berenson's property. And they would have all the time with these new guys, like have the cops show up, arrest them, and then put them on trial. I forgot what the charges were that they would say. They would end up putting them in jail and saying, because again, they were like friends with this judge. And then like the coaches were involved, Scotty Bowman, like the fucking management and shit. Like everybody's involved with like pranking these motherfuckers. And like, they would like, I guess let them sit in jail for like overnight or so. And, you got guys, you know, a lot of these hockey players, not from the States. They were free, you know, coming from a lot of places in like Europe or Canada. And, you know, you get in trouble with the law, you could potentially get deported from the country and not be allowed to come back. And, you know, that's how they're making their income. And especially back then, they weren't making a lot of money. Like, they weren't making a whole lot of money in the NHL. It's not like now. Like, they, you know, they wouldn't be making millions of dollars. But they may make, you know, depending on how good of a player they were, they could be making some decent money. But still, you could be really fucked if you go to jail just for on some minor charges and then having to get deported and then lose your income. Like, it'd be a real pain in the ass. So, I mean, that's some hardcore pranks. That's some shit to fuck with people. Like, that part was pretty funny to listen to that. I'm like, man, that's some rough pranks, man. That is that's some harsh shit to pull on somebody to make them think that basically their whole life is in jeopardy, that they could be completely fucked. But from what it read the book, though, that most of them, you know, thought it was funny afterwards, and then of course would then do it to other people, help out and pranking other people. But there was like one or two guys that were just like, fuck you for life. Like, you are a piece of shit. Which I would have think there would be more of people that would do that. I don't know how well I would take that. That would, I would be like, you motherfuckers, you tried to get me to think that I was losing it all. Motherfuckers. You bastards. That's a lot to go through. I can't believe a judge would actually like do some like proceedings. Like, they would. That's pretty funny to me. I can't imagine that happening nowadays. I feel like there'd be too many people involved, and that, that would, well, that also, you know, word's going to get out. If you got so much social media and stuff going on nowadays, you couldn't keep that under wraps. Like, especially if somebody got real butt sore, like, they're going to definitely be like, okay, fuck you guys. This is, definitely going to be, anyway, yeah, I definitely see people losing their shit over that and then going on, you know, showing, all their, contempt on that on social media. Like, this motherfucker pretended like I was in jail, like that I was going to get deported. Look out for these fuckers. Anyway, I guess that's all about, I guess that's really about all I've got here. I really need to go blow my nose. Side note, another thing, while I was sick this week, I had an issue with the toilet upstairs, or I've had an issue with the toilet upstairs. I had to, fixed the toilet handle a while back, and I had a replacement handle, but it wasn't the right handle, so it never, you could flush it, but you had to pull the handle back up, otherwise it would just keep flushing. Well, that handle happened to finally break whenever I was sick, of course, and I was like, son of a bitch. But I prefer the upstairs toilet than the downstairs one, just a nicer toilet. And so I just took the back of the tank off so I could just lift it up manually without the handle, you know, just pulled the little flapper thing up. And which is dangerous for me to just leave that open in the back, because honestly, I do spend, you know, a lot of time when I'm sitting on the toilet. I'll pull up YouTube videos and stuff on the phone and just, you know. Why not? It's my home. It's my throne. It's my throne room. And when I go to wipe up, like, I'll lay that phone right back there on the back of the tank. And then, you know, I'll leave it sit there usually while I go wash my hands and whatnot. Well, thankfully, I did not actually drop the phone. I had to keep reminding myself, hey, the cover is not on the back of the tank. Don't lay your phone. Don't drop it in the water. I did avoid that, and I did actually get a proper handle, the right handle for that tank or for that specific model of toilet, and I did install that earlier, and it flushes, and I don't have to lift the handle back up anymore to get it to stop flushing. So that's, you know, that's some positive thing. You know, maybe that'll lead to, you know, maybe more positive things will happen. I'll win the lottery later. I doubt it, but maybe. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.